Hi, it's Wednesday night. We're going to learn a little bit about the parasha of Ekev. Ekev is the parasha. You know, the parasha of Ekev includes Moshe Rabbeinu's description of Matan Torah. And since it's a description that's made from his point of view, the point of view of Moshe Rabbeinu, we expect that there might be some changes and some distinctions that we can make between the way Matan Torah was described to us and taught to us in the book of Shmot and the way Moshe Rabbeinu tells the story. So tonight we want to zero in on a particular aspect of that event, and that is the place of Aaron HaKohen in that event, the event that's called Matan Torah, the giving of the Torah. So, to introduce this, I would like to quote two quotes. If you have the sheet, you have it on the sheet. But on the sheet there's a Gemara in Chulin. The Gemara in Chulin that Pei Tet Amud Aleph. The world, the very existence of the world, is somehow connected to Moshe and Aaron. The other quote is from the Bereshit Rabbah, section Aleph, paragraph Tetvav 15. Moshe and Aaron shkulim zebazeh. Moshe and Aaron are kind of equal one to the other, and that's a statement of Tanaim. So in Tanaim, the people who we feel were the purveyors of the tradition, and they say Shkulim Zeba Zeh, well, that means something to me. But when I think about Aaron's role in the building of the golden calf, and even if he wasn't involved in real idolatry, maybe it was just a mistake, maybe it was a ruse that he came up with to protect the people, still, it's not that there's nothing like that in the history of Moshe Rabbeinu. To say that Moshe Rabbeinu is shakul, is equal to Aaron HaKohen, that's a little bit difficult, I would say. The first quote that we said, Eina olamit kayem, el bishvil Moshe v'Aaron. I'm not sure what that means. Eina olamit kayem, but there certainly is an attempt at saying that the most important thing you can imagine. If you don't know exactly what Olam Mitkayem, the world's existence of the world, is dependent on Moshe and Aaron, if you don't know what that means, still you feel that there's something wrong here. How can we say that Aaron equals Moshe? Moshe was appointed by God to take the Jews out of Israel, to do what it took. It's true that Aaron had an important job. He was going to bring the word that came from God to Moshe Rabbeinu to Paro, because Moshe Rabbeinu had difficulty presenting. He was a difficult presenter. But certainly you can't compare the work that Moshe Rabbeinu did in order to get the Jews out of Mitzrayim to the work that Aaron HaKohen did. Aaron HaKohen was a person who worked for Moshe Rabbeinu. He did his bidding. I mean, and even though I don't want to negate the importance of that, it's certainly very important, but how can we possibly compare what Moshe Rabbeinu did in his short tenure? You know, the 40 years, he brought the Torah into the world. He brought Bnei Yisrael to Arvot Moab, to the border of Eretz Canaan. And what did Aaron HaKohen do that you could compare to that? Yes, Aaron HaKohen is a very important personality. And it's connected with the idea of shalom, of peace, and the importance of that peace, and Birkat Kohanim. I mean, these are all very important things, but I don't imagine that they compare to Moshe Rabbeinu, to what Moshe Rabbeinu did. So if we look at the psukim in our chapter that Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, Vayimi Kates, it's on the sheet, the first section from the Chumash, Dvarim Perek Tet. It says, Vayimi Kates Arba'im Yom, after 40 days, Moshe Rabbeinu was on the mountain, receiving the Torah of Arba'im Laila, 40 days, 40 nights. Natan Hashem Eli Echnei Luchot Avanim, God gave me the two stones, the Luchot HaBrit, and those two stones somehow are covenantal. They establish a relationship. Luchot HaBrit. I mean, this you could explain. Rashi says Luchot. Luchot, a luach is a board. But they were stones, but they were like boards. Luchon Ktiv, Shishtehem Shabbat. You see, it says in the Pasuk, it says in the Pasuk, Echdei Luchot Avanim, Luchot Abrit. That these two Avanim, the stress is that there were two of them. And Rashi understands that stress as being they were equal. They were equal. Pasuk Yud Bet. Vayomer Chai. Just one second. Vayomer Hashem Elai. Kum Reid Maher Mizeki Shichet Amcha Asher Tzeitam Mitzrayim. Saro Maher Menader Chasher Tzivitim. Asu Lehem Masecha. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is on the mountain. He's receiving the Torah, which he wants to bring down to give to Bnei Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, listen, something terrible has happened. The Jews at the foot of the mountain are doing something they made. The pasuk ends and says, Asu lahem masecha. They made an image. They made this golden calf. Here's Moshe Rabbeinu. He just heard of it from God. Vayom Hashem Eli, Leimor Ra'iti et Am Hazeh V'Hineam Kishei Orefu. He says, I see, and then God goes on and says, I see that these people are stiff-necked people. They don't change their ways. Pasuk Yudalet Heref Mimeni, Vashmidein. Go away from me, and I'll destroy them, V'Enchem Et Shmam, and I will blot out their names. Mitachat Hashemayim, you know, a name is a proof of existence. In order to kind of finalize the existence in Bria, in creation, God directed Adam HaRishon to name all the animals. Without names, they don't really exist. You can't talk about it. You can't say anything about them. But with a name, they truly exist. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Herf me many vashmidem, I'll do away with them, v'mchem et shmam, and I will wipe out their names. It'll be as a chapter that never happened. Mitachad HaShamayim, in the world of creation, v'seh otcha, how's this for an idea? And I'll make you into a goy atzum, v'rav mimenu, I'll make you into a great nation, you Moshe Rabbeinu. His Moshe Rabbeinu is on the mountain. His job is to bring the Torah to Bnei Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu say to him, you know, Bnei Yisrael, they don't exist anymore. They may be walking around. They may look like they exist, but I'm going to do away with them. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu. And he says, we'll start over again. I'll make you into a great nation, you, your children, your grandchildren, that's how it'll start. Then Moshe Rabbeinu talks to the people in Dvarim, in the last book of the Torah, and he says, V'eifen I turned around and then I went down from the mountain. There was a fire on the mountain and I was holding. I mean, you see, Moshe Rabbeinu was talking about how unsettled everything is, how he didn't know where he was going. He was lucky that he would have to go down the mountain, off the mountain. But he didn't know what he was going to do. He didn't know what he was going to do with what he took. The two stones were in his two arms. Pasuk Tet Zayin Va'ere V'Nechatatam Shed. Then suddenly I saw what I was told. And you know, a witness is a witness only when he sees. Before he sees, he doesn't count. Ve'ere, v'hinechatatem Hashem Elokeichem. Here you have sinned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Asidim lechem egel masecha. You made a calf, an image. Sardem mehar mehar min ader hasher tziva Hashem etchem. You moved away from whatever it is I told you. You're no longer able. You, the people, I mean, you're no longer able to make a claim on the Torah. And then, that post b'shtei aluchot, and then Moshe Rabbeinu says, I grabbed the two stones, b'shtei aluchot v'ashlichei me'al shnei yadayin, I threw them down from my arms, v'ashabreim le'ineihem, and I broke them up. Le'enehem, le'enehem. I broke them so that you could see what happened. There was Moshe Rabbeinu was in such a state. He had luchot. It was that part of the transfer of Torah to Bnei Yisrael that had already taken place. And suddenly Moshe Rabbeinu understood that he had no one to give the luchot to. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had threatened to destroy those people. Start over again. There was no place to put the luchot. There's no body to give the luchot to. So then, the pasuk says, "Ashabreim le'enechem." That's the end of pasuk for Yud Zayin. I will break them le'enechem. Vet napal le'nei Hashem kirishona. And then afterwards, I fell down before Hashem, as I did the first time around. Arba'im yom, arba'im laila, lechem lo achalti, umam lo shatiti. I had another 40 days. Al kol chatatchem asher chatatem la'asot hara b'nei Hashem la'piso. You did it. You did it. Moshe Rabbeinu says, he doesn't explain what happened. I mean, Moshe really turned around and he went up on the mountain again. How was this decision made? I could understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu achieved a level of mercy. Hashem, Hashem, Kerachu Mechanon applies to the fact that the Torah was given a second time. The Torah was part of a two-part attempt to pass things on to the people. The first time was a failure. The first attempt was a complete failure. I mean, Moshe Rabbeinu had to break the luchot, throw them down. He had no place to put them and no body to give them to. And then suddenly Moshe Rabbeinu is telling the story. He says, so we did it again. But what he leaves out in the story that he tells in Dvarim is, why did the HaKadosh Baruch Hu give it again, do it again? What was it that made HaKadosh Baruch Hu think that the second time would be more successful than the first time? Why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu think that they would do the same thing? Adarabha, they did it, and you say they got away with it. They weren't punished. And if they did it, then they weren't punished. Then it's not clear. It's not clear to me at all now, to me now, why it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it. What was it? What was it that encouraged Moshe Rabbeinu with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in this terrible state where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to wipe them all out. Okay, Moshe Rabbeinu argued. He put up a fight. He had a certain advantage in discussing things. He was appointed to be the defense attorney of Am Yisrael. And when God appoints you to a job, it means you're going to do the job. You have the job. It's not like when we hire a lawyer. We don't know if he's going to be successful or not. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu hires a lawyer, Moshe Rabbeinu, you know he'll always be successful. He will be successful. But why does that mean that the people have changed? What's happened that makes the people change? So Rashi fills in a little bit of the story. If you look at the Rashi pasuk yudchet up on the top. Et napal ifne Hashem kerishona abayim yom shneemar vata ale el Hashem. I will go up to God. Maybe I will be able to achieve some kind of kapara. Ba'ota ha'aliyah nitakavti arba'im yom. When I went up to try to discuss this with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, I was up on the mountain again for 40 days. Nimtzu'u kalim b'kavtet b'av. These 40 days came to an end on the 29th of Av. Shehu Allah b'shmona asar b'tamuz. Interesting. Shmona asar b'tamuz is a fast day today. It's something about Yerushalayim. But that was the day. That was the day that Moshe Rabbeinu went up on the mountain to plead for the future of Am Yisrael. And then those 40 days, right, ended on Kaf Tet Ba'av, 29th of Av, which is the day before Rosh Chodesh Elul. Shehu Allah B'Shmon Asa B'Tamuz, Bo B'Yom Nidratza HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That day, Erev Rosh Chodesh Elul, God forgave B'nai Yisrael, V'amar Lo L'Moshe, and spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu and said, P'sol Echa Shnei Luchot, I say od arba'im yom, nimtza kalim b'yom ha-kippurim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, we'll have a do-over. Again, Moshe Rabbeinu was on the mountain 40 days. Then he came down from the mountain and he saw what he saw. Then from Yud-Zayin B'Tamuz, he went up on the mountain again for another 40 days, and that took him to Erev Rosh Chodesh Elul. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, Solecha, go and make these stones on your own. Solecha, Shnei Luchot Avanim Kerishonim. Solecha, make two stones as they were in the beginning and come up again and spend 40 days receiving the Torah again, and then you'll go back there and give it to B'nai Yisrael. So the thing that we have to try to understand is why was there a Matan Torah a second time? Why couldn't Moshe Rabbeinu just go up on the mountain and get whatever it is he had to get and come back down? A one-day trip. Why 40 days over again? Secondly, I don't understand exactly why there's an emphasis in the pasuk on psolecha. You know psolecha? You use the stones. You take a chisel and a hammer, and you hammer away. So the first time Moshe Rabbeinu went up on the mountain, the time that B'nai Yisrael sinned, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him the luchot, prepared in heaven, and had the Ten Commandments on those luchot. And then Moshe Rabbeinu was directed to pass on this to B'nai Yisrael. He didn't do it because when he got to the camp, he saw that the situation was unbearable. So he threw the luchot down and broke them. The second time that Moshe Rabbeinu goes up on Har Sinai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, Psolecha, you do it. I don't have to do it. I mean, like, what's the difference? Who does it? Why would Moshe Rabbeinu have to use the stones? It's hard work. He's not a professional stonemason. Why couldn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu do the second time just as he did it the first time? Just as he did it the first time. If you look again, Shemot Perek Lamed Bet, Vayomer Moshe l'Aharon, Me'asalach ha'am hazeh ki heveita alav chataa gdola. So Moshe Rabbeinu is accusing, after he comes down from the mountain and sees what Bnei Yisrael are doing and he sees the golden calf, he says to Aaron, look, I left you in charge. You are the chief. He says, Me'asalach ha'am hazeh. How did they convince you to do this crazy thing? Ki heveta alav kata gedola, you, Aaron, caused them to sin. You remember the question we asked at the beginning? How could the Gemara compare Moshe and Aaron? Here, look, here's Moshe and Aaron. Moshe's bringing the Torah to Bnei Israel, and Aaron is preventing them from getting the Torah. That's what it says. Pasuka bet vayoma Aaron al yichar af Adoni ata yadata da'am giyoda. So Aaron says to Moshe, a kind of a weak argument, he says, don't be too angry. You know that this is a difficult job that you left me. It's not so easy to deal with Bnei Yisrael. I mean, their needs are not reasonable sometimes. Pasuka gimel. They said to me, they came to me and they said, make us a God who will lead us, out of this terrible terrible place. He's been away for a long time. 40 days, or Chazal said he missed the time. There was a difference of evaluating, but that's not important. Lo yadanu mehaya lo. He's gone. He disappeared. That's what they said to me. Aaron. Aaron doesn't sound like an outstanding leader. He doesn't sound like a person who might have tried to stop them from building the golden calf, even if it endangered him personally. Right? Lo yadanu mehaya lo. And finally they say, we just lost track of Moshe Rabbeinu. We're not prepared to wait for 40 days. V'amar lahem l'mi zahav. I said to them, who has gold? It perku, take it off. V'yitnuli, and give it to me. V'ashalcheihu ba'esh v'yetzei ha'egil hazeh. Like Aaron sort of like says, I didn't realize what would happen. I didn't realize that it would be a golden calf. I didn't know that's what's going to happen. All of that is Aaron's very weak and very puerile defense of himself. I didn't mean it. I didn't do it. I didn't know. I didn't know what would happen. I tried to argue, but they didn't listen. That's Aaron. So where's the Gemara of the Medrash Rabbah, Moshe v'Aaron shkulim zeba zeh? How could it be that the Gemara, or that in this case the Medrash, would say that Moshe and Aaron are somehow equal one to the other? Where's the equality? How can you make the comparison? So there's one more pasuk, and then I'll tell you a little story. One more pasuk is Perek Lamed Aleph Pasuk Aleph Vayomer Hashem el Moshe. Psolecha, you the stones, take a chisel and a hammer and make the stones look like the stones that you broke. Psolecha shnei luchot avanim karishonim. Psolecha. Psolecha means you the stones. V'chatavti al haluchot, and I will write on these stones et advarim asher yu al haluchot harishonim asher shibarta. I will write what was written on the stones that you broke. Well, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to write this on the stones that Moshe Rabbeinu makes, he's going to write on those stones just like he did on the stones that he, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, made, So why doesn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu use the stones? Why does he do the same thing he did the first time around? Why does he have to tell Moshe Rabbeinu, you do it? Why you do it? What's the value of you do it? So Ichasidut in general, they take care of, they try to deal with this problem. And especially Rav Nachman. We're not going to learn the Rav Nachman now, but I'll tell you the story. Rav Nachman said that psol, the word psol, while it's true, it means to hew the stones, but it also is connected to the word psolet. Psolet is something that doesn't have any value, something that is not necessary, not important. This became an important word in Hasidic theology. Important how? How is it important? Because the in Hasidut, they wondered about the things that are in our bodies or part of us that don't seem to have any purpose, like fingernails, eyelashes, eyebrows, not to speak about appendix. They're things that really, they're classified as no purpose. Maybe you could argue that they once had a purpose, but right now they don't have a purpose. So those things that don't have a purpose are called in Chassidut, in the literature of Rav Nachman of Bratzlav, they're called psolet. Psolet in modern Hebrew is like garbage, something you throw away. So in our bodies, the way we are created, we're created with psolet. So that, what does that mean? Like, why would God create us or allow us to become psolet? Why would that be a reasonable thing to happen? I mean, what do we need the psolet for? So they, in Hasidus, they say that the psolet is not just the psolet in our body or associated with our bodies, but psolet is everything that's not really necessary. Right? The world was created with a lot of unnecessary stuff. One of the categories of unnecessary stuff is ra. Is bad, evil, unacceptable. That's also there. It's also in the world in which we live. And it's part of the psolet. It's part of the psolet. There's a psolet, a necessary, unuseful, things that are created and don't seem to have any purpose and exist even within ourselves. And those things, if you look at them carefully, you might find a wider definition for psolet, which includes evil, unnecessary, bad, yetzer hara, the evil inclination. All of that is really psolet. It doesn't come from what God made, but it came from, in making things, you got a psolet, like Moshe Rabbeinu is sitting at the stone and he's chipping away at it to make it turn out in the shape that he wanted, which is like a rectangle, a domino. So that's what Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to make. So along the way, after he finishes, he gets up and he picks up his two stones, and what's left on the ground? Psolet. Stuff he doesn't need. Stuff he's not looking for. It's like taking a haircut, right? L'habdil. You take a haircut, so you leave a lot of hair behind. And the hair behind that you leave behind has no purpose. There's no purpose to it. It's psolet. It's psolet. So if we carry this idea one step further and try to understand what psolet is it that we're talking about, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, "Psolecha, So another way of interpretation is make psolet. What does that mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, make psolet. But the first time around, the first time the Torah was given, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not make psolet. There was no psolet. It just happened automatically. God created the luchot. God created the luchot. So what does it mean? Make psolet. Make psolet. So this is what I think we might say. The first time HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah, the first time HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah to Bnei Yisrael through Moshe Rabbeinu, there was no psolet in the making of the Luchot. What does no psolet mean? Well, let's understand no psolet as meaning no foreign ideas, no unnecessary thoughts, nothing that could dissuade you from following the Torah. It was like Gan Eden before the Chait of Adam HaRishon. It was perfect. It was exactly as it should be. So when Bnei Yisrael looked at the Torah that they received, they thought about it, they knew, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Lo Yelecha Elohim Acharim Al Panai. That was the beginning of the Aseret HaDibrot, and the beginning of the Torah for Bnei Yisrael that they received. And the Torah that they received the first time around was a Torah with no psolet. There were no unnecessary thoughts. There were no unnecessary ideas. There was nothing misleading about the Torah. And so when somebody in the Erev Rabbah, this mishmash of people who came with Bnei Yisrael to build, to receive the Torah and to go to Eretz Canaan, when this all happened, and the Torah was given to them without psolet, they said, ah, without psolet, that means that there are no foreign ideas. Everything is good. So people came to Aaron HaKohen, and he said, we've got to do something. We're not sure. Maybe making an idol will help. Let's do it with gold, showing our commitment. So what would the people say? But it says, you learned the Torah. They said, no. There's a way to explain it. It must be all right. Everything that happens in the world must be good. There can't be things that happen that are not good, because we live in a world of no psolet. There is nothing more than the Torah itself. So they made the mistake of thinking that there was no way to interpret the Torah that would produce a false result. Anything you said, anything you did, any act that you performed was good because there was no psolet. But the second time that the Torah was given, Moshe Rabbeinu was directed psolecha. Psolecha meant, you do it. I want you to create the psolet. I want you to make it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu. And then the people will understand that you have to make decisions and choices about ideas and suggestions. You can't say everything is good and everything is just the way it should be. You can't say that. But you have to look at it more carefully and say, oh, this is appropriate, but the other is not. That's the psolecha of Moshe Rabbeinu in the second Luchot, when he went up to the mountain and brought down the Luchot that were etched by the finger of God. But after Moshe Rabbeinu produced, i.e., taught Bnei Yisrael about psolet. And so Aaron, the story of Aaron and the golden calf, is a story that took place in a world without psolet. So Aaron HaKohen thought that everything was fine. Everything was good. Everything was positive. That was Aaron HaKohen. And the second time the Torah was given, It was given with the idea that there could be psolet, that you have to check it out, you have to look carefully into all the matters that are related to Torah and to ideas, etc. And so maybe with the Gemara, when the Gemara says Eino Olam Mitkayein Ela Bishvil Moshe Ba'aron, like what did Moshe Aaron do altogether? They were responsible somehow for the Torah which first did not have psolicha, and the Torah that did have psolicha. And we see that Aaron was forgiven because he lived in a world of non-psolicha, and he became equal to Moshe Rabbeinu because of the fact that he succumbed to the truth where there was no psolicha, and he kind of redirected Matan Torah. He, Aaron, redirected Matan Torah into a psolicha type of Matan Torah. Tov. Next week will be another parsha. All the best.